Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and I'm here, Nick here, Barry here, my list in, Nick's list in.
Shut your mouth. Shut it up. I don't want to hear
Barry's
it.
Here.
Man, this is what the worst do? Day.
Songs pre-2009 about cheating. Barry didn't even cheat because he didn't participate yet.
Dude, my back is absolutely killing me, and it just started on the way here.
That's not an excuse for missing Way Back Wednesday.
Well, no, my excuse for missing Way Back Wednesday is a little bit different. So I do have an excuse.
Did your back hurt you when you got your hair cut? Nope.
Why you?
Because I can tell you got a fresh cut.
Yeah, I get it every Wednesday.
I don't care. I know this.
I said on the way here. So it had been I think I'm playing too many video games. Like, I don't sit properly on the couch.
You have spina bifida because of video games. Is this what you're saying? Spina
bifida. I got scoliosis because of it. No, but I think I don't sit. Like, I'll lay down. I'm all slumped over. I need to get a chair or something to sit in. But I've been playing video games every single day and night. Like, when I'm not here, I'm just playing this video game, The Outer Worlds. It's a lot of fun, right? So last night, and I hadn't been sleeping that much. I've been staying up late, getting up late. Just, you know, that whole schedule I did last week, gone. Already just gone, obliterated. So my wife was like, sweetie, why don't you take something, you know, and help you go to sleep so you're not up all night. So I was like, okay. So she gives me 2 Benadryl.
Ooh, not night.
I went to bed at 9:30. I woke up at 9:30 this morning and only, actually 9:35 because I kept snoozing. Only because I had to go get my haircut. Otherwise, I would have probably got up at 12 o'clock and just wore my pajamas to the station.
Benadryl are powerful.
Man! I was like, I can't do that no more. That ruined my day.
I know everybody has like certain meds that were over the counter that work better than others.
Oh,
for me, like Benadryl, like even when Lisa or her mom says, now you know that the vet says you can use Benadryl on the dogs. And I'm like, well, if Benadryl works on the dogs like it works on me, the dog's going to be sleeping for the entire day.
Yeah, it'll knock you out. And that's like, man, so if you're having trouble sleeping, pop you a couple Benadryls. Yeah, it worked for me. I don't know. I mean, be careful, obviously. But so that was not good. I lost the whole night, all morning. And then I don't know what I did. Leaving the Chipotle, but oh my damn, my back is killing me right now. So I'm hurting physically, mentally. I'm broken right now. If Cody Stoots wants to fight me, today is the day. Did you hear that?
No, I did not.
Oh yeah, did you hear it?
I heard him mention you on the air, but I did not hear the context.
Well, so I get to the station to shoot our sports map videos early.
Right.
I'm here, and I'm walking on the elevator, and it's Todd, it's Christina, and it's AJ.
Okay.
And AJ goes, hey, were you listening on the way in? I was like, actually, no, I was at Chipotle. I didn't have it on. I had to. And he goes, oh, yeah, Cody Stoots said he'd want to fight you. I'm like, what?
Why?
He was like, yeah, he said you were top 3 in people he would fight at this station. I was like, Joel messes with him more than me. Why would he pick me to fight? Well, turns out he thinks you're in better shape than I am.
Okay.
So he thinks I'm an easy target to fight. Okay. He was like, it would be Fred, Charlie, and me. That's who he lumped me in with.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, that's you fantastic. Son of a bitch.
I was hoping he would just call you fat, but I thought that'd be too good to be true. This is actually better.
Cody's not going to, you know.
I know. I'm just.
He's not going to do
it
that.
It would be better.
Well.
You must have had a hell of a day because.
But I was like, I said, Cody, I walked in. Well, first of all, let's back up a little bit. So I said no, and I don't believe AJ because he's AJ.
Correct.
And Cody probably said, you know, oh, you know, it's something different. Well, come to find out, no, that was absolutely what Cody said, is that I would be in his top three of people he would fight at the station.
How did that come up?
I have no idea. I don't know. Okay. So I get in here and I ask Jose, I was like, is that true? He goes, yeah. So I'm standing there and I'm mean mugging Cody and he's laughing. And then the show is over with and this pissed me off too. So I said, I'm going to go in there and mess with him. And Jose goes, hey. He's real self-conscious about his pants that he's wearing today. I was like, oh, dope. Appreciate that, man. This is the first thing I'm going to do. So I walk in. I ask him what was his reason why. And he's like, well, you know, Joel's in good shape and Raheel's in good shape. And AJ was a fighter, professional fighter. I was like, yeah, but he's not in shape anymore. He goes, but he was still a professional. I was like, did you see who he fought?
Yeah, he fought some slapsticks.
No, Cody goes, yeah, guys like me. I was like, oh, fair point. Fair point on that one for sure. And then I'm like, you know what? Lance isn't all that athletic, right?
Wait, I mean, all that athletic? He just bought a foot exerciser so he can get his heart rate up. Come on. He walks the mall.
Granado's got cirrhosis. That's easy to... That's right. Like,
I love how he puts you in the same class as Fred Fowler because...
Yeah.
That's just...
I said, Cody, you realize I run 2 miles a day, right? He was like, yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
You up to that now?
You know what? You kissed my ass.
Legitimate question. You said you were getting back into it.
When I start running, I go run 2 miles. I don't build up to 2 miles.
Okay,
right now, I go run 2 miles.
I just asked a question. You're all fired. You're sensitive and you're fired up on two different fronts.
And I'm hurt. So I'm like a wounded animal right now, backed into a corner. I'm lashing out.
Instead, you didn't hurt your back running, though. You hurt it playing video games. You need an orthopedic
chair. You hurt your back in the weirdest way.
I feel like now that I say it out loud, I probably would be the guy I would fight at the station if you hurt your back sitting down.
You need an orthopedic chair to play video games. And the last time you yanked your back, you were grabbing your soda off the roof of the car.
I'd fight me. I'd totally fight me. I'm brittle. I'm like Mr. Glass. That'd be easy to
now,
break.
I also received a message that I was not aware of, that also during the course of their show, that an angry listener had it out for you again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, who now? What happened this time?
Mr. Band on the Usual Suspects decided to use the platform again.
Oh, you Mike's bitch ass calling another station or calling another show. Yep. Imagine that.
Again.
Imagine that. That dude, I swear, I should have to pay rent for how far I am into his
head.
Oh,
you are. You own real estate.
That guy... How old is he? He's probably in his 60s, and he can't get over the fact that he can't call the show. One, it's flattering because that shows you how much he loves our show. Two, it's weird, and it's like psychotic. Like, I fully suspect that OU Mike has boiled a rabbit in one of his ex-wife's kitchens or whatever before. Fully suspect that. He's psycho. And nor do I care what he called and said. It means absolutely zero to me. I'm more upset that Cody Stoots would put me in his top three people if he would fight. Not because he doesn't like me. Let's get that out of the way. But because he thinks physically I am equivalent to Fred Fowler and Charlie Polillo.
I think there's a chance that he doesn't like you too. But I think that he probably used the first reason first.
Well, what I liked was I was like, Joel's meaner to you than I am. He goes, yeah, that's not it. So he knows that you know.
I am not mean to him.
You are absolutely mean.
Oh, Joel. Shut up, Nick.
Thank you.
I mean, you body shame him the most.
Yeah,
you're it's actually
you're
kind
a dick
of funny.
To him. When it comes to like.
You body shame him too?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't recall that at all. I don't. That doesn't sound like me at all. Would I do something like that?
Absolutely. Hell. You would body shame anybody.
I don't think that's true. I don't know. But
You body shamed Joel's three-legged dog one time.
No, I did not.
Nothing is off limits with Barry, except family. That's it.
Excuse me?
We have rules.
Excuse me?
I'm saying that we have rules on this show. Now you're going to get on that.
Who made that rule?
Not me.
Wait a minute. That rule wasn't my rule. I'm just letting y'all know now. That rule wasn't my rule.
It's a show rule.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know who penned it, but I'm just going to leave it as a show rule.
Even though he talked about my mama all day yesterday and what?
No.
2-3 days ago?
No. I gave your mom props. I don't know what you're talking about.
What did you say?
About her being a red rowdy, and I also had pull over there if something ever happened, she could still be a red rowdy or whatever, if she's a red rowdy or whatever the one she's involved with.
Okay.
And then you were talking about some lady that was on her game at 60 plus. I was like, and they loved the show. And I was like, I appreciate your mom texting because your mom loves the show. I've met your mom.
I don't remember. I don't think he said anything offensive, but if he did, it's probably revenge for you accusing me of banging his sister.
Oh, you think that's what it is? That's a good one, too. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
you violated that rule, and I got ticked. I didn't bring it up, but I was pretty pissed for a long time about that.
No, you were not.
No, I wasn't.
No, you were not.
He's the one that got mad about that.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at all.
I didn't get mad about that.
What?
About banging Joel's sister? I wouldn't be mad about that.
713-780-3776.
I unplugged my headphones. I don't know what lie you just told because I didn't hear it, but you absolutely got mad about that.
I didn't get mad about that.
Joseph.
HRP listener line. You can call, you can text. 713-780-3776.
All our dirty laundry's
out
there now.
You can also reach us via Twitter, which might be interesting today. At Barry is funny. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. At the producer Nick. I take it I'm going first, Nicholas, on Way Back Wednesday?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, so Way Back Wednesday
second,
songs.
Barry's going last.
Well, you know what? I've given it some consideration. We'll do this on the other side.
Songs pre 2009 about cheating in honor of our very own Houston Astros being accused of breaking the rules.
Did you see Jeff Luno's statement?
Steal signing and other things.
They pretty much admitted it.
It was a better statement than the one about Brandon Taubman, I can tell you that.
At least they put some thought into it this time.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue to roll on. Just getting started. Join us, won't you? Be a suspect. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Second segment of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. On a Way Back Wednesday, songs pre-2009 about cheating. Or at least allegedly.
Yeah, you heard. Did you see Jeff Luno's statement on it?
I did. I believe we have some audio on people asking about the allegations of stealing signs. But overall, I'm glad that the PR department, whoever needed to get with whoever else, issued at least a statement that you can at least take to heart this time. But, Nick, you got the audio from Luno?
I'm going to get it for you in just one second. Okay.
That was the big thing was like, Don't mess this up again. Like you've already the Taubman thing was a disaster, and you rushed a judgment on that. The fact that they came out and said, "Hey, we're working with the MLB," and you know, okay, cool, good. That's the proper thing to do. But actually, Jerome Solomon had a pretty good article on it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where I actually found the original statement from what. Jeff Luno.
So Luno's at the general manager's meetings, and they they all have to address the media anyway, and that's where it came out.
Yeah, and so is the audio you're getting, is it of the statement, or should I just...
It's the audio of... I don't know if it's a statement. He just met with the media. The audio I have is when he met with the media.
It's a soundbite from him. It's not the official organizational statement.
Correct. Yeah, because there is... That's what I was trying to say. There is two different things, right? Like, you've got the Astros, what they released, and then what Jeff Luno said, and the stuff that Jeff Luno said sounds... a little sketchier. It's like, not sketchy. It's more like, we're not going to incriminate ourselves, but I'm not going to tell you we didn't do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Which That's is essentially what the what statement says. Like,
I mean,
too,
you plead the fifth is what it, we're going to plead the fifth. We're not going to testify on grounds that may incriminate us. That's kind of what he said. So let's hear it. This is Jeff Luno at the winter meetings, at the general manager's meetings, I should say, talking about the Astros and cheating.
I've heard what you all have heard, which is allegations. This wasn't the first one I'd heard, and it's not the first one you all have heard. But like I said, I think the best course of action is not to speculate right now. It's we're gonna look into it in cooperation with MLB, and we'll find out what there is. These past couple of weeks, there's been a lot of news surrounding the Astros, and it's not all good news. And I'm disappointed in that. They obviously have come. One after another, it seems like the last few weeks. So it's disappointing. And if there is a issue that, that we need to address, we will address it.
He also added, we haven't done everything properly, But I do feel confident that in general, most of the time, we did things right and we try and follow the rules. We try to be good citizens and we try to compete as hard as we can. Now, that's way worse to me. That's where I was. I didn't know if we had that or not. But that part, that says a lot about, hey, this might
be true. Most of the time. Just that right there in, as part of the phrase.
Exactly.
Most of the time. That means most of the time I wouldn't steal your wallet. But
yeah.
There's a few times that if it's there and I'm hungry, I might.
We haven't done everything properly, but I do feel confident that in general, most of the time, we did things right and we try and follow the rules. That's terrible. You should have just left it the way you left it there.
Another audio clip from that same media session is when he was asked whether or not he had knowledge of what they were doing, and this is what he sounded like. And this is probably where he gets most of his criticism.
Specifically, I'm not going to get into exactly what I knew or anybody knew at this point. We're just going to have to wait and see what. I'm sure there will be an appropriate time to answer that question directly. I'm not trying to avoid it. Think at this point we're going to investigate it and figure out what the facts are, and then we'll respond after that.
Right now, if he's on a lie detector, when you hear that thing is going off the charts.
Yeah.
They're running out of ink because of how nervous he sounded when he answered that question. And you take all of that, and that's more incriminating than the first statement. But then you hear, this is the actual statement that was released by the Astros. Regarding the story posted by The Athletic earlier today, the Houston Astros organization has begun an investigation in cooperation with Major League Baseball. It would not be appropriate to comment further on this matter at this time. Now that, if he wanted to really just answer it but not answer it, would have been, we're going to stick to this statement. Because again, PR 101, in all my years in professional sports, I can tell you, especially when the franchise and the organization has issued a statement, your best course of action is don't stray from it. Don't try and add to it. Just state, for the time being, we've put out a statement, and this is what we're going with.
Yep.
But when you have him reacting the way he did, it's not a good look at all.
No, and you know, it's almost, I would rather him just come out and say, hey, look, we're going to learn from our previous mistakes by not coming out and saying things that shouldn't be said, or by doing things that shouldn't be done in the media. So what I want to do right now is I'm going to refer you to our PR department. I'm going to refer you to the statement that's been officially released by the organization, and that's also my statement. And then we'll proceed as we get further along in the investigation with MLB. Something like that, you don't have to worry about it. Like, we've screwed this up in the past. I don't want to screw this up again. You guys, if I say something incorrectly, you're going to make a big deal out of it. And lo and behold, he said something incorrectly with the most of the time, in general, we do the right thing and try to follow the rules. Shouldn't have said that.
Can you imagine if Belichick said that?
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's really bad.
You couldn't have summed it up better. And that's the thing. If you're going to make a statement, stick with it. If you're going to make a statement and then try and add to it, it's only going to make you look worse. And it almost makes you look worse than you did with the Taubman situation and going into complete denial mode.
And it is difficult when you have media in your face asking you questions. But you had to know, you're at general manager's meetings, you have to know that the media is there and they're going to ask you about it. So you have to, when you wake up in the morning, before you leave your hotel room, this is what I'm going to say. This is how I'm going to handle everything. And that's what you do. You don't just walk out and start using generalities when it comes to cheating. Like, well, most of the time we tried to do the right thing. What does that even mean?
We had a business PR staff as well as a basketball PR staff. And the business PR staff's job was to make sure that the non-players and coaches in the organization got a script, stuck to it, stuck to the bullet points, and said nothing more. Some guys were easier to reel in than others. You can imagine when two guys think that they have mastered the art of broadcasting and public speaking, like Tad Brown and Daryl Morey, you sometimes have to do some work after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Les Alexander was another one that you could give him all the points in the world, but if he had something to say, he was going to say it anyway. But there's a protocol and an outline to follow. right? And if you're doing your job, that's what you do. You lay it out that way. But you don't do both. You don't issue a statement and then without bullet points let one of your top management officials just go off on a tangent on his own.
Right.
Because they don't sync up.
No. It's a bad look.
It's a completely bad look.
It doesn't look like you guys are on the same page. And yeah, I at this point, you have to toe the company line, and it has to be very short and sweet in your answers. And normally, I would tell you that, hey, why even bother, right? Like, you know me, I don't get frustrated when I get coaches speak or when I hear coaches speak or if we do a post-game presser and it's just the typical stuff. But at the end of the day, there's a reason every organization does that, so that you don't get caught with quotes like this, or in the case of the Taubman issue, you don't end up with egg on your face like that. And so just toe the company line right now, yeah. Everybody.
Because, you know, sooner or later, you're going to hear it through the grapevine.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Well played, Nicholas. Or actually, me through Nicholas.
Did y'all see Carlos Beltran came out?
Uh-uh.
Of the closet?
No.
We were, yeah, because
I was like,
you were the one adamant that he was going to, that he might, because of the fact that he's now a manager, rat on the Astros, and instead.
Oh, he made a statement.
Yeah. We can get to that on the other side. Yeah. So, obviously, Astros talk is still front and center today, but we got lots of other things to get to as well. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. The Astros story that won't go away. And we were talking before the break about the fact that statement quotes from Luno, but don't do both. And they did. So again, while they think they're getting better and improving on how they handle these things, there's still plenty of improvements to be made.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about yesterday on the show, who will be the next in line?
Who's the next snitch?
To dip them in the grease. Someone had a great suggestion, Brandon did, in the video department. Ken Giles.
Oh, yeah.
There's someone else with an axe to grind that you could see would be a natural fit.
Yeah.
Because zero F's given, but plenty of, because he wore the tank top.
It won't be anybody in the field, because they benefited from it. So it's not going to be anybody in the field, right? It's going to be a pitcher.
That's
a snitcher.
Probably right.
What? We're making rhymes.
But, yeah, that's my job from Rockets.
I don't mean to steal your thunder.
It's my bit.
Well, Beltran came out. Carlos Beltran, new manager for the New York Mets, came out. And I thought he would be on the list just because he's a manager now. And he's like,
like Cora.
Yeah. Well, he came out, and this was his quote to the New York Post. I'm not aware of that. We were studying the opposite team every day. We took a lot of pride studying pitchers on the computer. That is the only technology that I use and understand. It was fun seeing guys get to the ballpark to look for little details. The game of baseball for years, guys have given location, and if the catcher gets lazy and the pitcher doesn't cover the signs from the second base, of course players are going to take advantage. I don't call that cheating. I call that using small details to take advantage. I think baseball is doing a great job adding new technology to make sure the game is even for both teams. It's easy to blame someone when they win. That is Carlos Beltran's official statement on it all.
I think the big thing here is that everybody's going to say, hey, if everybody's doing it, what's the problem? But it's to what level are you doing it? Because to his quote, to what we've known about baseball forever and going back to the Red Sox series of a couple years ago in the playoffs when we knew every pitcher for the Red Sox had pine tar somewhere on their body. Everyone is cheating to some degree. But to what level?
It's
so
baseball.
It's stealing signs. If that entails or tipping pitches, that entails guys studying video and seeing when he throws a curveball, he digs in his glove and moves his wrist a little bit more. Or when a catcher is bringing the signs down, that we've had players, Jeff Blum and others on the show that have said, look, you can see twitches in a forearm when they're putting down a certain signal as opposed to a fastball or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's all part of the game, and that's credit to the team. But if you're using cameras, Apple watches, and whatever it is, and then the Neanderthal approach of pounding on a garbage can to send the signal
or whistling.
But regardless, it's not the pounding or the whistling.
Now I ask you.
It's the technology.
Now I ask you. The camera in center field is an issue. That is blatant cheating. Okay? That's just absolutely cheating. Especially if you're relaying that what's coming in, you know, you by banging it on the trash can or whatever. Now, and several people have made this point, including Andy Huggins. I was driving home yesterday and he called me. He's like, did y'all talk about it? Because, you know, he loves the Astros. And I was like, yeah. He goes, did you mention to tell everybody that in 2017 they were better on the road than they were at home? So if they were cheating at home, it didn't help because they had a better road record? And I was like, that's a fair point. And I've heard several people make that
point.
Yeah. Now, the question I have is it cheating if, because you can watch baseball, and especially in the playoffs, the center field camera that the networks have will also zoom in on the catcher.
I was going to ask you the same question.
And when they flash those signs, if you're in the dugout watching and you whistle, hey, this is, we got one guy watching the actual broadcast the entire time. And they may zoom in because you're behind the pitcher. So all you got to do is zoom in on that and then say, hey, based on what we see on the network feed, you're going to relay that sign in. Now, that might be an angle that they take.
Now you know that our show is organic and we don't really spend any time in production meetings sharing thoughts. Because my thought was exactly the same thing. If this was an unmanned camera separate from the broadcast cameras for television, then it's cheating. If it was the camera from center field that whether the home feed, the visiting feed, or the in-stadium feed was using, then...
Because you know you can zoom on a TV, right?
Absolutely.
You can just get, hey, show me 2x zoom or whatever, 3x zoom. Now, if you relay that, is that cheating? Because you didn't implement any of the technology. You're just watching whatever exists already. That's the fine line that the Astros may end up walking with MLB. I could see them coming out and saying, okay, did we relay what we saw? Yes. Did we set up a camera? No. We used the live feed. So it's something you guys provided us.
And our video department just happens to be set up by the clubhouse, off the stairs that leads to the dugout. Because here's the other thing, and you may recall this, you may not.
So relaying that, is that cheating?
I was going to say to you, too, the other thing is, because in years past this came up, what's the difference between that and having someone in center field with binoculars that's in the bullpen and then picking up the bullpen phone or otherwise and getting information to the clubhouse?
Yeah.
Because it's a matter of interpretation what it comes down to. If you did set up your own separate camera focused solely on the catcher for the purposes of stealing signs, it's cheating.
Yep.
But if you're savvy enough in your video department and you've got guys that are baseball savvy enough to pick up signals, indicators, and otherwise to be able to determine from the center field camera on television what's being thrown, and then you find a way to quickly get it out there, I'm with you. I don't think that's cheating.
Well, and I think that's the – look – if MLB's, you know, rule is you cannot use technology, can you use technology that's not ours if it exists, right? You can't set up your own camera and fix it on a catcher and then relay signs based on that camera. But can you just sit and watch the TV and whistle out loud if a breaking ball
is coming? Here's something else, okay, to that same point, right?
But I'm saying, okay, I think that's what the Astros' defense is going to be. We found a loophole in the law, and we exploited it. Did we do it? Yes, but we didn't think it was cheating because it wasn't our camera. I would bet dollars to donuts that would be a stance that they're considering at least.
Here's something else,
okay,
because of the fact that they've approved technology to have iPads in the dugout.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So with that being said, the Aaron Judge thing came up with pictures. We see all the guys with the iPads. Who's to say, is it cheating if on some of those iPads you have the center field camera?
Yeah.
Okay? Just like you have video of every pitcher coming in and what their breaking pitches do and what their fastball does, or, you know, tendencies here or there that they're studying on the iPad. What if under the same guidelines. And you've seen it. Sometimes when the camera goes into the dugout, you've seen that one of the screens on a computer in the dugout is live.
Yeah.
If that's the case and someone on the bench is able to watch that feed and be able to determine, hey, I know what their signals are.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to watch the broadcast feed because it's always delayed, right? Like, broadcast feed is always
delayed.
Okay,
it is and it isn't because, like, when
I was... in the stadium, exactly. If they have the live feed,
they're not going to go through
the delay.
So what I was going with is when I was in my previous position as director of broadcasting, one of the things that I had to do was for our video department downstairs and everybody working in the room during the game is I had to get rid of the delay. I had to make sure it was real time.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I would assume the same thing should be said for for baseball in stadiums.
Absolutely. Especially in the dugouts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could totally see that because if they have the iPad and they want the data, they're getting it.
And the
right
camera
there.
Feed is still going to give you that because the delay is when the feed leaves the stadium.
Yeah.
If it goes from the truck to the satellite or in this case, fiber optics now. And then it's the amount of time it takes to get from the stadium to its destination of delivery.
Yeah. And they'll also put like we do on broadcasting on radio. Right. We have an 8-second delay, Nick.
Yeah, it's an 8-second delay.
And that's done after. So like. As it goes out, that's the last thing it passes is that, right? Or does it...
Correct. I mean, that could be adjusted. I mean, you can do, like, depending on the platform,
8, 7,
10,
yeah.
12, whatever.
Okay.
You want to try it out?
Here, it's 8 seconds. I think we've pushed the line here pretty...
So I could totally see internally how you could get a live feed from one of those cameras.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This is going to be interesting. It's not over by any stretch.
Here's the other thing on the whole thing. Everybody's saying, what about the punishment? What's the right punishment for all of this? Well, if the Red Sox got $250,000 for the Apple Watch, then what should the Astros punishment be? You know what? No matter what it is, what it comes down to, we know that when the Cardinals got caught breaking into the computer system of the Astros, that it was draft picks, a guy went to prison, and there were fines. I think it's safe to say in my mind that the biggest punishment has already been levied because now, based on this and everything else that we highlighted yesterday that the Astros have done recently, they have tarnished their image. They have tarnished their reputation for the foreseeable future.
What's funny is literally the Boca's one on Twitter tweeted us a picture of Mike Fiers' glove. And you can clearly see the substance, the sticky...
pine tar or whatever it is.
In the glove. And it's funny because he goes, oh, is Mike Fiers worried about the integrity of the game? And this goes back to what you talked about earlier. Everybody, because people have been hitting us up left and right. Did you see Brad Peacock? He had the substance on the back of his hat. Well, yeah, everybody does that. Like literally the Red Sox pitchers with the stick them on their arms and you can see them go to their arms.
You and I were talking during the playoffs about the catchers that put it on their shin guards.
Yeah. So there's a big difference between that. Everybody knows that they're doing that. And in fact, I've seen hitters say, I have no problem with it. If it gives a pitcher more control and I don't have to worry about a fastball hitting me in the face.
Yeah, or the head, yeah.
By all means, put a little stickum on your fingers and control the pitch so that you can locate better because that helps everybody involved.
Blummer talked about his favorite gloves all had pine tar in the pocket.
Absolutely.
So that's been a given in baseball for a long period of time.
But it is funny that you would come out on
stage.
But you're
right.
And
hypocritical,
I mean,
right?
Look at the picture. It's obvious. It's blatant that it's there. So, yeah, it's hypocritical at the least. And this is why most people don't come forward because everybody is cheating in some form or fashion.
Right.
Whether they're taking roids or putting stuff in the glove or whatever it is.
The other thing that's made me kind of scratch my temple is Mike Fiers said he has an axe to grind with the Astros. Why?
Did he?
Yeah, part of this was he said that there was a falling out or that he now has issues with the Astros. Why? You got a ring, you throw a no-hitter, they traded for you, they stuck with you when you sucked?
Dan, I don't know. That would be interesting.
What, because they didn't re-sign you?
The only person that I could see that is really, it wouldn't surprise me that is just eating this up is Trevor Bauer.
He already did.
Did
you see it? I retweeted it. He already did.
He's loving this.
He took a highlight last year of him giving up a home run to Bregman. Or whatever, and maybe it was from 2017. And then the minute, and it was a hanging breaking pitch. And then the minute that it starts going out of the park, Bauer looks back at the pitch, and he circumvents on top of his head the emoji thinking. With the hand on the chin, like, I wonder? And it's like, dude, what you should wonder is, why did you leave a breaking pitch sitting right in the middle of the plate?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
You can't hang a breaking ball and then get mad when it gets hit out.
No. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's hour one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So the notion Barry was going to put Carrie Underwood eight times on his list.
There goes my damn
went
list.
Out the window thanks to the first
Can
song
I
that
exception?
I looked at that I was never going to choose, by the way, but because he was so obsessed with it, I looked when I started putting my list together.
You were gonna
and the
do
minute
it?
I saw Carrie Underwood 2012, I went, ha ha ha, suck
damn
it, bitch!
Wow. So aggressive.
Yeah.
Why are you so aggressive?
I learned from Mad Max. Vernon Maxwell is in town because they're going to the throwback jersey Friday, but evidently he came in a little early. And he just tweeted out, Houston, your boy Mad Max just touched down. I'm ready to suit up and touch these Clippers.
Wow.
Who is meeting me at Toyota Center? I don't know if we're looking at a scene from the movie The Warriors or we're listening to Vernon, but we talked about it when Mario was here. Mad Max was a fighter, too.
Oh,
he wasn't
yeah.
afraid to take you down. I always said, pound for pound, the best fighter in NBA history was Calvin Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Murph will tell you Al Addles, which is a name no one will remember. I thought it was Murph, but Vernon Maxwell would give anybody a run for their money.
Murph is that he looks like he's got that old man strength, even as a young man. You know that, like, you know, yeah. You see those old men, they just have those, like, just their hands are just, they're not big. They're just like, I don't
know,
meaty. Yeah. They're just like they would just crush rocks and
yeah.
You wouldn't want to be punched in the face. Murph would scare me. I would not want to fight Murph.
Murph and I talked about this.
And he was a good fighter,
too. Oh, he's a great fighter. And we talked, and he used to box back in the day as well. But we talked about this once I got to the Rockets. And I said, Murph, you know, forever and a day before I got the ball boy job in Milwaukee, my dad would take me to weekend Bucks games. And it seemed like they always played the Rockets at noon on a Saturday or a Sunday. And before I could even finish, and he goes, and I got in a fight every single time, didn't I? And I said, yeah. Like, all I can remember is every weekend game against the Rockets, you were going to fight somebody. And he goes, Joby, it was just one of them things. I didn't like to get up that early as it was, but if you pissed me off then, it was going to be double trouble because I was coming at you with 2/5 instead of one. I was like, oh, my God. At least I wasn't losing my mind. He goes, nope. And
that's funny. He didn't.
No, he didn't
great.
Shy away from it. And he talked about it. Like, he talked about even the Rudy T deal, where how it affected him. But that, because Rudy T was his best friend.
Oh, really?
And that, you know, for a while, that he just wanted everybody. But yeah, pound for pound, I think Murph was the greatest fighter in NBA history. Because it wasn't like today's game where, you know, you call it fighting, but it's two guys shoving. It's like Kevin Garnett and Dwight Howard waiting for six guys to get between them, and then they're going to yell things at each other and push.
Yeah.
Murph would actually throw fists.
Those kind of guys are the ones that...
And I've told
like, there
you,
are
like,
guys
I
that
was,
will fight. Like, everybody, I think, will fight and defend themselves. But there's guys that look for that. Those are the ones you got to worry about.
When you think about what we said about Vernon would fight you in the weight room, with or without weights involved. He would fight you at a club. I was there in Portland when the idiot fan went over the line and made the remarks about his stillborn child that we all were going up in the stands. We went up in the stands to get him out, but most of us wanted to go in the stands to get that guy. But Vernon was another one of those guys where came up, if you were in the inner circle of the Rockets, nicest guy on the planet. But boy, oh boy, don't cross him.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that – I'm really glad that he's back engaged with the organization because there's a guy that needed it and there's an organization that needed him.
Got to get him on the show.
He's always said he was going to do it, and then our schedules – I just tweeted it out and said, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We need Mad Max on the show, and then I'll text him. But it's not like he shied away from it. It's just basically been a timing thing, but we definitely need to get him on.
Nick's got to get by the dump button.
Well, and Nick, when you're at the Rockets games and you see him and you've talked to him before, I set it up for that picture for you guys, that he's one of my boys. So you can just remind him that, hey, we still want you on the show, and then we just got to just coordinate it because we'll get him on.
I will definitely do that. He's cool. I mean, in person, he's actually
he's a great
super
dude.
Nice.
Pretty
laid
back dude.
Oh, incredibly laid back. Just a nice dude. We'll talk to anybody.
nah, Kenny and all them, they are my boys, but I ain't going to Utah because that nasty place is going to drive me crazy.
Do you do the impression in front of him?
I don't know that I've ever done Vernon in front of Vernon.
That would be interesting.
I've done Murph in front of Murph.
You think he would get mad if you did
Nah, especially because I know the one. I mean, I know some of the stories I could do the impersonation with that he would laugh at. Oh, yeah, because we did it with Mario off air the other day. But yeah, there were some when I said that in the plane, the back of the plane, we called affectionately the hood because the guys were playing dice and card games and saying whatever they want, telling stories. Vernon's stories in the back of the plane were all world.
Oh, I can imagine.
We had to scrunch down below our seats so they couldn't see us because we were in tears laughing.
I can imagine.
So yeah, we'll try and get Vernon on the show, but that would be fantastic. Okay, so Rockets and Clippers tonight. Nick, are you going?
I am definitely going.
Well, that's great because Vernon's going to be there, so then you can actually touch base with him.
Kawhi, yeah, I'm definitely going, and it's a good thing Kawhi's actually playing, right?
Kawhi is playing. Paul George is not. However, disappointing for Rockets fans because Paul George will play tomorrow night on the second night of a back-to-back for the Clippers, but they were going to bring him back either tonight or tomorrow night, and they've elected to wait until tomorrow night. So it'll be interesting because Kawhi normally does get the assignment of guarding James Harden. But then without Paul George in the lineup, and that would have been great to see Paul George guard his ex-teammate in Russell Westbrook. Because then it's really mano a mano. And on top of that, then it really becomes whose reserves are going to step up more between the Clippers and the Rockets. And here's the factor in tonight's game keep an eye on that people aren't factoring in enough. Pat Bev's coming back to H-Town.
Yep.
Pat Bev's got an axe to grind every time he plays the Rockets. He's going to love this matchup.
He does not. He's not a Rockets fan.
No, he's not. And here's the other thing. Let's not forget, who's Pat Bev's most known opponent that he got into it with in the history of his career?
Russell Westbrook.
Boom. Now you got
now
a double
he's a
whammy.
Rocket?
Now you got a double whammy.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
I'm not going to lie. When I was watching the Clippers play the night that Kawhi sat out.
The Bucks game, yeah.
The starting lineup had three former Rockets, and each and every one of those Rockets, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley.
Boy.
It was almost like I was a fanboy for the Clippers a little bit because I really wanted them to win. I really did.
Now,
just seeing them, all three of those guys who were not starters, with an exception of Pat maybe, in a starting lineup for the Clippers is amazing. That shows how much they've grown.
Man.
Here's the conversation that will never end between the three of us in terms of what should or shouldn't be asked in terms of at a Rockets game or a sporting event, right? But someone needs to ask Mike D'Antoni, do you regret or have different thoughts now about Montrezl Harrell than you did when you refused to play him in the playoffs and then traded him away? Because if you remember, we all kept saying that year, Montrezl Harrell's got to see the court just for energy alone. And D'Antoni refused to play him. Now this guy's off the charts. Not only was he a finalist for Sixth Man of the Year, have you seen his stats this year?
Oh, yeah.
Dude is just double-double machine, putting up major numbers and points. Rockets drafted that guy.
I think he had 33 against your team, the Bucks. I think he had a season
played
high
huge
or a career
against
high.
The Bucks. Yeah.
34-13.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I don't think he necessarily has regret because the whole trust factor, and I feel like maybe in the back of Mike D'Antoni's mind, he knew that Montrezl Harrell would eventually develop into something good, but he knew he wasn't ready. The argument we kept making in the playoffs was, well, even if you don't think he's ready, what you're doing is not necessarily working. Why not try him? He does bring energy off the bench. And so I don't know if he necessarily has any regret.
I mean, look, you don't regret the trade. You got Chris Paul, right?
No.
So you had to make the trade. But in retrospect, the bigger issue is, did you regret not playing a guy that ended up turning out to be a guy? Yeah, that could be a real contributor.
I don't think he regrets it. I don't think
you don't?
Because of the trust factor. He has such a short leash with who he trusts. And his mind is like, well, Montrezl Harrell is ready now. If he was on my team now, I'd probably play him. But at that time, I don't think he was ready.
Well, and think about this, too. If you ask that question, if I'm Mike D'Antoni, I probably answer it with, well, we actually traded, we did all that for Russell Westbrook because that has been the end result. Is, yeah, you got Chris Paul, you ended up flipping him, and you got Russell Westbrook. So are you better off with Russ on this team as opposed to Montrezl Harrell and Pat Beverley? And the other guys. Was Lou Williams wasn't in that trade?
Yeah, he was.
Oh,
yes,
he was?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that stings a little bit.
Can I do this for you, though? I'm not even talking about that. What I would do is say, so talk about your lack of trust in rookies like Montrezl Harrell that year. Then say, how does that relate to Daniel House? Because Daniel House was a guy that played in the playoffs, that he had trust in. You trust Daniel. Maybe you learned your lesson, and that's why you played Daniel House. I would hope that would be his response, because other than that, he has no leg to stand on.
I'm drawing a blank, no jokes, about who was it the next year that he did it again? Kenneth Faried. He wouldn't play him in the playoffs.
But wasn't a rookie.
But Kenneth Faried kind of showed
defensively
less than Montrezl Harrell, I think.
But still, from an energy and a hustle at points in the playoffs, we were all watching it going, why isn't Kenneth Faried at least getting some minutes?
A great point. Remember,
did it again.
Clint Capella missed a good portion of that season. And guess who put up the exact same numbers Capella was putting up, but yet he couldn't sniff the court in the playoffs? Kenneth Faried.
So maybe it's not a rookie thing. Maybe there are some things that cause guys like that to fall out of his favor or trust.
Or not a rookie. The thing is, you could not be a rookie and still not be Mac D'Antoni's trust.
Maybe something you did or something they didn't do caused them to not be trusted by D'Antoni in the playoffs.
And that'd be interesting to find out. And Nick, let's not forget, which I know you don't, Kenneth Faried was also cut up.
He was ripped.
No doubt about it.
No doubt.
All right, hour number one in the books. 2 hours still to go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.